is. So we'll take a short little break, and someone else will come on to talk to you. All right? Have a great day.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big Z coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Kelly Sloan.
Arguably the most influential evangelical pastors in America, gathering together to listen to Donald J. Trump affirm the values of life and religious liberty, the building block of marriage and the family, and the preservation of our Judeo-Christian value system.
That was Pastor Samuel Rodriguez, president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. Today, conservative Christians are in New York meeting with Donald Trump. And there are protesters, too.
If nobody did anything, there would be no impact. If a lot of people do a little, there can be an impact.
That was Peter from a Jewish social justice organization. Attorney General Loretta Lynch is in Orlando talking about the latest developments in the nightclub shooting massacre. The visit comes one day after the Justice Department decided to release the unedited transcripts of calls between shooter Omar Mateen and police negotiators. This is USA Radio News.
If you'd like to control your blood pressure without medication, I have some exciting news. My name is Floyd Brown, and I'm the CEO of USA Radio. It's called the Zona Plus, and it's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. I'm using it myself. 22 clinical studies confirm regular use of the Zona Plus can decrease your blood pressure by 10% or more. That's why it's been written about by Harvard, the Mayo Clinic, and the American Heart Association. As a listener to USA Radio, the company is offering you a special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to ZonaPlusUSA.com. That's ZonaPlusUSA.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention USA Radio and save $50 on your Zona Plus and change your life. Remember, ZonaPlusUSA.com.
Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton is bashing Donald Trump, claiming he would be dangerous for the economy.
Just like he shouldn't have his finger on the button, he shouldn't have his hands on our economy.
Campaigning in Ohio, Clinton argued the presumptive Republican nominee will throw the U.S. back into a recession.
You might think that because he has spent his life as a businessman, he'd be better prepared to handle the economy.
A private funeral is being held today for the Nebraska toddler killed by an alligator at Walt Disney World Resort. 2-year-old Lane Graves was vacationing with his family last week when he waded into shallow waters at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort. The alligator dragged him off as his dad tried to stop the attack. Texas secessionists say Britain pulling out of the European Union could bode well for their efforts to get Texas its independence back. Britain will vote Thursday on whether to leave the EU. This is USA Radio News.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Authorities say the man arrested at a Donald Trump rally in Las Vegas over the weekend planned to kill the candidate. Here's USA's Chris Barnes with details.
Michael Sanford arrested after trying to grab a police officer's gun during that rally, and according to the complaint filed in federal court Monday, Sanford had been planning to kill Trump for over a year, and they alleged that he drove from California to the rally purposely to do it. The complaint also says the 19-year-old Sanford went to a gun range on the day before the Saturday rally at the Treasure Island Casino. Sanford for now is charged with an act of violence on restricted grounds. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The first day of summer began with record-breaking heat in the Vegas Valley. Yesterday's official high was 115 degrees, breaking the old record of 113 set last year. An excessive heat warning remains in place through tomorrow night, and flights could be affected.
Excessive heat does make the air thinner. It does impact aircraft operations.
That was Christina Cruz with McCarran International Airport. Senators are trying to learn more about the ideology of ISIS. Author and researcher Hassan Hassan told a Senate hearing that ISIS is made up of young zealots who want to shake up the political order in the Middle East. He says ISIS thrives in a climate of instability. Dr. Tarek El-Gawahri says ISIS is not motivated by religion. This is USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. For more news, go to our website, usaradio.com.
Hey, it's Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters, and I appreciate you joining me today. I've got with me today, what are the numbers on your mics, guys?
We got two.
Three and four, sorry.
Two and four or three and four?
No, it's two and three.
Two and three.
Two and three. So I'm just trying to get the sounds on for everybody. I have with me today Patrick Gregory, who is a Mr. Fix-It, and his daughter April's here. Hi, April. And Steve Bailey, who's an inspector. And what we're going to talk about today is how the holy trinity of real estate agents, inspectors, and Mr. Fix-Its work together, because it's an interesting dynamic. But before we do, they've asked me to, first of all, give you a little about the weather. Unless you haven't been outside, it's hot. It's 80 degrees. Looks like we're going to have a little rain on Thursday, but tomorrow's going to be a repeat of today, up to about 84. A little rain here on Thursday down to 79. Friday is sunny again. Saturday sunny again. And Sunday's 50-50. So it's summer. You know, it's, what can I tell you? It sounds like New Jersey in the summer.
No rain? No rain in the forecast?
No, a little rain on Thursday, I think it's okay. So, yeah, a little rain on Thursday, 68% rain.
Yeah, we've been kind of dry.
I'm going to have to shuffle my jobs outside Thursday.
You have to roll and poke.
See, I guess I can do that without myself, because most of my stuff, I'm inside. Even if I'm out with you guys, I'm typically sitting inside.
Yeah.
So
you can see how I'm starting to tan very nicely.
You are. Steve?
You're kind of a hairy guy,
though. It's a farmer's tan.
So before we get started, we're going to play a few paid commercials, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. Hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey, and what I'm going to do is, before we get started, I'm going to play my commercial, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to play both Patrick's and Steve's, so you'll know who we are.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
So that was me. You know a little about me, and I don't have to explain who I am and what I do. I think what you've heard in the commercial you'll see come out. I'm going to do the same thing for my two guests, and we'll be right back to you.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
And that was a little bit of April in the background. Steve's daughter sitting in here, or I should say Patrick's daughter is sitting in
here. I'd love to have her for a daughter. Love it.
So we want to talk a little bit about what the process is after you buy a house or sell a house, because you're going to be on one side of this or the other. First of all, real estate has been really red hot. I mean, I've sold in the last 2 weeks houses we thought we'd never get rid of.
That's good news.
It's just been a bubbling along economy. I literally have 9 transactions going on, 6 of which are out of attorney review and have a freak bubbling through, and I've got probably 4 new listings going on this week. So it's
Joe, what did you do different? How come you're so successful all of a sudden?
I think it took a lot of work that just came to fruition, but woo-hoo, I will tell you what I'm seeing that's
good
different.
For you.
People usually buy and sell a house every 7 years. They just get starting to move on.
7-year itch?
Yeah, it's a 7-year itch.
Yeah,
really?
Well, because of the
my wife's got that itch.
We don't want to go there. This is a show. Your daughter's sitting here. What happened was, because of the recession, they didn't do it at the end of 7 years. So now at the end of 11, 12, I've got about 4 people came out of the woodwork and said, remember the house we bought? Well, it's time to move up, or it's time to move down, or it's time to move sideways.
Wow.
So
right.
I'm seeing a lot of that this year.
Wow.
So it's sort of exciting. I think we could. We had our best year ever last year, and I think this year will probably two times it the way it's going. It's really an exciting year. So what I do is I work with sellers if I'm doing their listing. When somebody comes along on the other side and does the buy side, and then once they get through attorney review, and I want to explain why we need to go through attorney review, then it needs to be inspected. And then when I have a buyer, because I do about 50-50 buyers and sellers, I'm on the other side. So they come in and make an offer, it goes back and forth two or three times, we get to an agreement in terms. We don't spend money on the attorneys till we're in agreement. Why pay attorneys for something we can decide on ourselves? Then it goes into what we call attorney review. For the first 3 calendar days of attorney review, either side can walk away. It's like a right of rescission. You don't even have to give a reason. It's just a state law.
That's only in New Jersey, right?
I think it is only in New Jersey, yeah.
We have to be different.
Yeah, well, we are. Yo.
And yo.
Yo. I will leave the rest of that sentence.
Yeah, that's great. It was perfect.
And once we come into attorney review, it typically takes about a week. And what the attorneys do, they sort of cross the T's and dot the I's and make sure both sides are the side they're representing. The same attorney can't represent both sides. It's a conflict of interest. So buyer has a different attorney than the seller. And that process, in about a week, I've seen it go 15 minutes, but it usually takes about a week. And then it's time to inspect. Now, why do we want to get attorney review done first? Because at the end of attorney review, the seller is obligated to sell that house to the buyer. Mm-hmm. That's an important differentiation. And at the end of attorney review, the buyer is obligated to buy that house from the seller unless something comes up during the inspection process. Mm-hmm. If we hadn't come out of attorney review, then either side could change their mind, and we don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. We want them locked in before we start spending. Because an inspection, we ran one yesterday. Oh. I had termite guys, septic guys, radon guys, Steve and his son. It was 7 hours, probably 5 hours, 6 hours.
No, anyway. 7 hours.
Yeah, it was 3 buildings and 5 acres and
yep. Big place,
very close to $1 million property. It's a big investment. You don't want to get into that. And the other side say, no, I don't like the request you're making. I'm back. No. So what happens? We do the inspection. 3 or 4 business days later, you get an inspection report from everybody. Mm-hmm. And then if you ask for everything that's on a report, you're going to kill the deal. It's just the way it works. You'll get 102 things. Mm-hmm. You want to pick the 10, 12, 14 that really matter to you and ask for those to be fixed. And then the seller goes through it and has a mild heart attack up front because he thought his house was perfect.
Yeah.
Never is. There's always something there. I mean, there's little like double taps on the wires always come up. The GFIs always come up. Mm-hmm. So you've got the buyers and sellers come to an agreement, and then the seller will make those repairs, and the buyers has a right to come through and see the receipts that they were done by qualified repairmen and take another look at it before he closes. And with the new laws, he has a right to look at it twice, once a week before closing and once the day before closing.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Why twice, Joe?
Because if they see something the day before closing, it could hold closing up 3 days right now. Anything that comes up out of the review, the walkthrough, could delay closing 3 days. So they want to go through a week before, which may not matter because nothing could have happened by then. The person hasn't moved out. There's no holes in the wall from the couch. You really want to look at it the day before. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people waive that, but that's the way it now reads. There's a really good article by our attorney from NJR. It's an hour of how to contract work and so what it means. Barry Goodman.
Yeah.
It's an interesting
watch. I know that. I know Barry Goodman. Yeah, I know the name. I don't know him, but I know.
So the new contracts are – it incorporates a lot of things that we didn't have in the old contracts. I thought they were going to be a real pain in the neck up front. I love it. I've done about 24. I would say for every 3 contracts I write, 1 sticks to the wall. Right. You know, it's just that kind of a market right now. It used to be 4 out of 5 stuck to the wall. I mean, you know, come into consummation. We get into attorney review and complete it with it. But now I get a lot of offers. No, because I had one last week. They offered me like $20,000 less, and we came back at $3,000 less, and we never heard from them again. It's like, at least come back and say,
no, or yes.
Yeah, right. It's like, that's just totally unprofessional.
Yeah.
And so that's what Steve does. He does the inspection. Mm. So why don't you explain that, as Lucy would say. Now, I guess it was Ricky. Explain that to us,
explain
Lucy.
That to us, yeah. Well, you know, Joe, we've been working a lot of transactions together, and, of course, you've been down the road on this. And, of course, the home inspection process is intended. It actually came out of the real estate industry as a result of the magic words, this house is perfect for you, and you walk in and you find out that it's not quite as perfect as you thought it was, and somebody felt that they had to go get somebody or go get an attorney to fix it. And 40 years ago is when this industry came forward, And then it got to a point where it had to be defined what kind of standards a home inspector is going to follow. So the state developed its own standards, modeled from Texas. Texas was the first state
I didn't know that.
To do that. And then we had some very robust legislators, that tweaked it a bit, because we had one particular legislator that got burned on a bad home inspection, and we had the most aggressive laws on the books for not only getting licensed, but the process itself. Wow. So what that ended up is creating a bottleneck for inspectors to get licensed, and we couldn't get anything licensed for a couple of years, and this was back in 2004. Mm-hmm. And thanks to the Realty Board, they came forward and said, hey, you're turning this whole industry upside down. Mm-hmm. You know, and inspections are going through the roof because they have a monopoly, and so the process got refined very cleanly. Essentially, the home inspection process is simply a process of doing what I call the family doctor. That's the metaphor I use, the family doctor. We come in with a set of standards, and we're to identify what's called material defects, something that's going to impact, significantly impact, the value of the property, the safety of the property, and the habitability. And that's a very broad definition. So you have inspectors like any other trade coming in and applying that opinion. What I add to that process is primarily maintenance recommendations based on my independent point of view for my clients. But you're right, Joe, you made a comment earlier that there's a lot of things that end up on a report. I make a real big effort to differentiate the issues between what the state defines as a material defect, which I'm sure we'd want to have remedied one way or the other, versus basic advice and counsel for the client going forward mm-hmm. on how to take care of the property now that they're going to move in, buy it and move in. So that process takes, as you've experienced, anywhere from 2 hours to 7 hours. I think that's probably – that might have been closest to my longest yesterday.
Wow.
But it was that many buildings, and that's why. But by and large, they're usually between 2 and 3 hours, and sometimes I'll tip over 3 hours because we are checking visible operational systems and components in a house. That means I'm putting a tester in an outlet. I'm making sure the heat turns on according to normal controls. Air conditioning is turning on normal controls. I'm making sure plumbing is not leaking. We look for obvious telltale signs without being invasive of the condition of the property. And we try to share that as commonly and as straightforward as we can. And everybody comes at that differently, as you and I have experienced.
Right.
You know, some people sit there and say, I don't care about that. I'm going to rip out the kitchen. Don't even look at that. And then there's other people that say, that handle's loose on that refrigerator, and it's making me nervous.
Right.
You know, so we have all the extremes in that whole process. I think the actual enjoyment I get out of the effort is used to be the discovery. I was a big, you know, I was like, I wonder what I'm going to find. And now it's that plus, and more importantly, trying to get into the communication and at the level of the client's understanding to give them a clear view of what they're involved in without shaking the tree so hard that they just
right.
they're rattled. And on the same token, when we have a serious event, say, you really need to go the next step forward and have something checked out.
Right.
And that's a balance that every inspector struggles with. I can't say enough about the broader sense of the inspection industry. We're all over the map. I'll be the first to admit that.
I think in your behalf, and I've told you this story before, so it won't be new news to you. We have a little internal system. I work for Weikert and Clinton. We have about 120 agents. Depends on a day of the week. A couple of them are milk cartons. A couple of them are, you know. So anyway, 110 to 120 agents. So we have a little internal Yahoo Groups bulletin board where we talk to each other all day long. Somebody will say, hey, do you know anybody who does this? I've just got somebody recommended this attorney. Has anybody worked with them? That kind of thing, where we chatter back and forth.
Sure.
So one morning, it was a Saturday morning, which we have a little more time because you're not caught up in a day-to-day thing until at least 9 o'clock. And somebody said, who would you recommend as an inspector? And I said, I like Steve Bailey at Brass Tack. I've been using it for 3 or 4 years almost exclusively, and I've had good experience with him. Steve got 7 unsolicited. I use him, too. He's great. I mean, people didn't have to say that.
Mm-hmm.
It was
very kind.
Yeah, and I said, he must be doing a good job. The thing I like with Steve is he will, as he said, adjust his level of presentation to mm-hmm. your level of comprehension. For instance, I've got a little fellow that does investment properties. He doesn't even want a written report. Yeah. He just wants to do a walk and talk. He goes through. He gives him a better price because he doesn't have to do a lot of documentation right. or whatever. And we'll do a condo in 45 minutes if yeah. he's looking at it as an investor.
That's right.
That works for him.
Yeah,
the next person, maybe we had that woman who I thought was pretty savvy. You say, remember she said, let's go jiggle some toilet handles together?
I'll tell you.
Yeah. Was that code or something else?
But he has the span of clients that are just remarkable. That's all I can tell you.
Never a dull moment.
No, there's not.
No. And quite honestly, nice lady. I mean, I do half my business in Somerset County. Somerset County is very ethnically diverse.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I just sold a house to an Iraqi. And I've done a lot of work with Indians, Egyptians. Just mentioned, I've probably dealt with them. And every one of them has a great sense of humor, and every one of them just likes to be respected. And you've got to level yourself to those kind of people.
Sure.
More interestingly, there's an up and down arrow on a personality chart where the top is no emotions and the bottom is high emotions. And then there's a left, a right. So you're looking at me backwards. When you go all the way to the right, it's very decisive versus non-decisive. So the upper quadrant is what I call upper left as an engineer. They're not emotional and they're not decisive. You just can't give them enough information.
Right. Sure.
And I think it's, in a lot of instances, a stall for making a decision. They just want more information.
I agree.
Where if you move across to the decisive, now you get a CEO, like, I don't need to talk about the Met score. Just tell me what's going on and tell me how we're going to fix it. You know, so that's more of a pragmatic, where the bottom on the emotional side and the decide is the guys like me. They're salesmen. They're like, they roll with the punches. We can make it happen, da-da-da-da-da. And the bottom on the other side is more of a school teacher, where a little timid, they're
asking
questions too, and they're having a hard time making a decision
because
they're
good
not
description.
Decisive. But they're very emotional. They're very worried about things.
Yeah.
So you, in the first couple of sentences of meeting a person, and you do this naturally, probably just don't know it, we'll have to adjust your personality to their personality.
Absolutely.
Because the salesman will drive the engineer crazy and mm-hmm. vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And the CFO and the school teacher will drive each other crazy. And they say if you really look at the failure ratio for most marriages, you'll find that they were catty corner.
Yep.
And they just didn't realize it.
Well,
you know,
opposites attract.
Yeah.
Though.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't stay together very long.
Well,
it's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
To my
I agree.
Last show, we did a show on gray divorce, those people getting divorced over 65. It was an eye opener.
Really?
These two women in from AXA Financial, and they it hasn't come up yet. It'll be up in another week. It takes about 3 weeks to edit them and get them republished. Very interesting shows.
And that's amazing.
What they say is once the kids are gone, there's usually not a lot left in common.
Right.
And that happens.
So sad.
Yeah. So it's
sad.
And they actually got into, I'm getting off digressing here, but they got into if one party is failing and the other is still strong, sometimes that party doesn't uphold it for better or for worse. And figure out minutes for myself. I don't want to be chained to somebody that's not healthy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's all and now it's much more complex because there's assets, there's retirement.
Oh,
Social Security will stop under certain conditions when you get 65. So there's a lot of things that go into it. But Patrick, let's talk about you, because once we come up with a list of things that need to be done, sometimes we need a licensed electrician, which I realize you're not. You know a lot about electricity, but you always say, I'm not a licensed plumber. But just about everything else, Patrick gets his hands into.
Pretty much,
yeah.
It's just the nature of how I set up my business back in 2005. I consider myself a handyman, and it's worked out very well from my point of view, even though I call myself, the name of the company is Taskman Home Improvements. I really do small repairs and maintenance. So it really is attuned to the type of needs that you as a realtor are looking for when it comes to that closing and that punch list of inspection reports that usually drive people nuts at that point. You can't really rely on a remodeler to come in and do those little punch list things because they got better things to be doing,
you know,
like redoing a kitchen or a basement or something like that. So I think I kind of strategically, even if I wasn't thinking about it back then, aligned myself to the realtors a little bit. And I appreciate you as a realtor, the type of realtor you are, because you know how to network and you know how to provide a full package service to your client. You know that behooves you, and you know that knowing the correct people to be able to present to your clients will get the job done properly and as quickly and efficiently as possible. And it's not every realtor that understands that, really.
No, I think a lot of realtors are trial by firing. They're getting their experience while they're going. And I know when I first – Len Connolly mentored me. He's now with Coldwell. But Len had sold me a house. We bought two investment properties. Then I sold that house and bought another house for Len. I mean, I think I did four or five transactions. And he said, you're coming in with the – you've done enough that you can understand the basics of it. And I bump into realtors, and I don't have to pick on a gender, but I'll have women say, well, so what's the difference between a septic and a cesspool? It's like, you got to know this.
Yeah.
You know, this is not stuff you can learn along the way because people's investments are in jeopardy. And I really think people, when they go out to interview a realtor, really want to look at their references. I'll give you a good example. Yesterday, I got a nice note. It was this morning. From who you didn't meet, Pat, this is Bobby's wife, and she says, Joe, I really appreciate you pulling together these contractors for us for the inspection. It was a nice job. And we got some things to plow through, but I felt like we got done what we needed to get done.
Terrific.
And I told her, it's just a start. Now we have to find repairmen and testers, and we'll get there. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of resources out there. There's attorneys to start with, there's inspectors, there's Mr. Fix-Its like Patrick, and then there's, beyond that, let's say radon comes up bad. Well, then we got to find a radon mitigation company. So I've got two or three of those I work with. Or we're talking today about we need to investigate what looks like it could be mold a little bit deeper. Is it really mold? If it is mold, how bad is mold? I mean, mold is like a crime, okay? I'm guilty, but are you guilty
for some
in the first, second, or third degree?
Yeah.
How bad is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
mold's been around for a very long time.
Well,
it's just that nowadays everyone's so sensitive. Not from the point of view of sensitivity to the sickness of mold. It's the sensitivity to the word mold and the liability issue that seems to be around that.
The word mold is in the Bible. It's been around that long.
Boy, that's no lie.
Open your refrigerator door and look at the rubber grommet.
That's
on the
right.
And it's got mold on it. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank God for mold because we have cheese.
Exactly. Exactly. And take that a step further. That's the balance of that conversation is very difficult to do because our medical industries come out with such strong statements about these various – I mean, asbestos was a real rush, and then radon, and they're all certainly important issues, mm-hmm. but imbalance and having that conversation about those things is really important to have.
Yeah.
Well, beautiful. I'm going to go back to a few commercials, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
So we were talking a little bit offline about matching personality styles, which is not what this show is all about, but it's sort of important because if you understand the person you're dealing with and you can match your personality style to their personality style, you're going to get along a lot better. And I think we all have to do that in the business of service and sales, and that's what we sort of got off on, but it's not germane to the center part of the show, but it makes things move along a lot more smoothly.
No doubt about it.
We're all salesmen at the end of the day. So one of the things I remember about Patrick, if I had to close my eyes and see Patrick, I see him with a rope around a tree in the front of my house going up over the top when I lived on Blue Cliff, and he was fixing a chimney on the back that needed either to be replaced or painted or something. And I said to myself, I would never think to do that, but this man ain't going to fall off my roof.
That's
and
right.
It was a pretty high roof. And how long have you been doing the Mr. Fix-It thing?
I started in 2005, so I'm in my 12th year now.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, I rarely go on roofs now.
Okay.
I don't call me chicken anymore, but I used to be fearless when it used to be, those situations going
right.
up on roofs, and now I'm just very, very respectful of that height, and depending on the pitch.
Right.
You know, that's what I tell people. If I have to get on a roof, I got to see your roof first, and I'll tell you if I feel comfortable going up
yep.
there or not. I'm 47 now, and I'd like to see 57 somewhere in the future.
I'd like to see 57 again.
You and me both, Joe. You and me both.
I guess it comes with wisdom after a while, you know.
Right.
So I assume I'm going to get even smarter as I get older.
I think so too, because I mean, you can be up at the top of a ladder and you don't have enough arc back on a ladder, and a bee comes around, you sweat, and the whole ladder can go backwards.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's scary.
I've had
happen.
A bat and fly out from behind a shutter. Yeah.
Wow.
I was taking the shutter apart for my client. I'm on the second floor on a ladder, and he wanted all the shutters down so he could paint them because
yep.
he was not able – a lot of people are not able to get on the ladders.
Right.
They have what they call acrophobia.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, the fear of going up on in a height of some
yep.
sort. So I was doing that, and I could hear the scratching. That's all I hear. I'm like, what the heck is
yeah.
it's going like this? And I released one of the two pegs, and this thing came flying out and zipped me, like basically clipped my ear, and I turned around just to see what the heck it was, and it flew into the tree behind me,
yep.
and I couldn't believe what I saw. But yeah.
You're lucky you didn't do a header.
I'm there. Lucky I didn't fall off the ladder for sure, because I tend to not be afraid at that point. When I'm on a ladder, I forget where I am.
Right.
Right.
And that's a lot of people, you know, and it's one technique, if I could just give you a suggestion, if someone is on a ladder, when you do climb a ladder, you don't climb it with your hands on the rungs. You climb with your hands out on the sides of the ladder,
okay.
and you slide your hands up accordingly as you walk up, and you hold on both ends. You try not to let go. If you have to let go,
you're out of balance.
Yeah, but you don't, one hand lets go, not both.
Right.
Interesting.
And I feel comfortable not having to even hold on with that, but sure, I could get into problems.
So where did you learn your skills? How did you get from where you were to where you are? What did you do before being Mr. Fix-It?
I've done a lot of different – I think the background of corporate America, where I've been in the past,
right.
is synonymous to where I've taken it off with the – I call this entrepreneurial
right.
skills. I've dabbled in so many different things. I've been
a private investigator. I've been a librarian for a pharmaceutical company. I've been a salesperson. I've done IT, and it goes on.
Yeah.
But the entrepreneurial course that I took in college made me write a business plan at one point, because it was 50% of my mark for that particular marketing course. And I ended up doing just basically a service industry type business report plan on window washing. And I put it into action that year. My actual entrepreneurial teacher asked me if I could go wash his windows.
Huh.
And so I said, sure. And my friend and I ended up starting the business together, because he had the pickup truck and we were 17 years old, 17,
okay.
18 at the time. And it turned into a whole bunch of other things, because people would ask us, oh, do you do painting? And we'd say, yeah.
Expenses?
And we'd say, sure.
Sure.
And so we kind of learned on the fly,
yep.
You know, way back when. And then I kind of let go of that to go into corporate America. But how things kind of come back to you, at one point in our life when my wife got pregnant, we wanted one of us to be at home with our daughter, our baby daughter. And circumstances had it that it was easier for me to quit my job,
okay.
and let my wife work. So I was a stay-at-home dad for 3.5, almost 4 years with my daughter. And then I turned around and said, hey, I can't get back into the workforce,
sure.
as an IT professional. So I started the handyman business.
Isn't that interesting?
Yep.
And you came from Canada originally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Born
lots
in,
of
born
A's
in,
at the end of your sentence.
I don't say A anymore. No. Come on.
A?
His
daughter,
it's
April. Yeah.
April's not buying.
No.
But, she's not buying.
Yeah, we became American citizens in 2013.
Congratulations.
And looking forward to actually being able to vote.
Wow.
That'll be a big
this year. This will be the first presidential election that I'll be able to vote.
Well, we won't go into who you're voting for, because it'll take up two shows.
Yeah.
So where in Canada were you based at?
Montreal.
Okay.
Born and raised. Yeah.
Wow.
My wife and I both were married
Montreal.
There.
Yeah, it's pretty beautiful.
Right after 9/11, I was doing software sales, and I was New York City based, and I covered the Northeast in Canada, and nobody in the country was doing anything. We were all confused, I think, is the best word we had after 9/11.
Right.
But the Canadians were still buying, so I was flying to Montreal almost twice a week.
Wow.
And did business with what's Rona's, our Home Depot down here.
Oh, yeah.
And Rona,
yeah.
Everything Rona runs, I've sold them at one point.
You know, Rona just got bought out.
Did they? Who
bought them? Sorry, it was Renault Depot that just got bought out. It's
okay.
That was another kind.
That was another big
I'm sorry. You're, no, it is Rona.
It is Rona.
Rona was a family-owned business.
Right.
And then that was, like you said, the equivalent of Home Depot in Canada, until Home Depot actually did
And they were out. They were just off the island of Montreal in New Boucherville, and we still
I know
I've
the area.
That a lot. I'm driving
Lowe's.
Through Montreal, and I'm saying to Marilyn, "It's snowing, and there's a squeegee man here in this." Now, this squeegee man could be in Miami. What the hell is he doing here in Montreal? Not.
I've never seen a squeegee man in the freezing rain and in snow. That maybe a scraper man.
Well, it's a pretty place. We're actually going back through Montreal, Quebec City, Ottawa, and back down through
this summer.
Yeah, this summer. Yeah. We're doing the second week in August.
Very nice.
That'll be a good time of year to go.
And I'm going to go to Pittsburgh and see Frank Lloyd Wright's got a couple of things like Rolling Water.
Oh, so you're going on a real road trip.
Probably about 10 or 12 nights.
Nice.
And every time I tell somebody this, oh, well, you're here, do this. Well, yeah, it's getting longer and longer as we speak.
Just check the festivals in Montreal at that time of the year. I mean, the big jazz festival's already gone by then, because it's the beginning of July. But there's so many different festivals going on in the summertime. You're bound to catch something.
I'll have to look into it, because I spent so much time off, especially Old Montreal. It's like being in Europe in Old Montreal.
Oh, yeah,
really great.
In the Old Montreal there. Yeah, go to the Montreal Gazette .ca. That's the local rag there in the newspaper, and it's online.
Good.
And you can check all the different events that are happening, events, and try to find something that's fun.
So what are you seeing, Steve, from what's changed this year versus last year?
Well, first of all, it has been just what you said, Joe. It's been a very active year. Rarely have I been booked out a week. Usually I'm able to fit appointments in, and I'm running, like you said, I'm running 7 to 9 days in advance. doubling up wherever I can. And it's just been a busy year. But what's very interesting about the marketplace is that, and to your credit, the level of sophistication that's come into it as a result of so much more data that's available to everybody.
Right.
You know, you have so much online internet access to not only property information, but everything from products to inspection services to you name it. And,
yeah.
And people saturate themselves in it, sometimes well, sometimes not so well,
yeah.
As you know. And that's always it's almost debunking a lot of times what the assumptions are. And a big part
of our
business.
That's one of the things I tell my customers. I think it's in my ad, as a matter of fact, which I played for a second time. My apologies. I hit the wrong button. Yeah, right.
I like it.
I say that, you know, you're overwhelmed. It's like drinking water out of a fire hose. You can find all that information. You're not thirsty anymore, but you are a tad wet. And you need somebody to sort of help you disseminate through it and supplement it with accurate information.
Right.
Just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's accurate, although
yeah.
they tell you it is. Okay? It's not. You've
right.
got to really research. And what do I do with all of this? So I find people really confused, and that's where I come in mm-hmm. and sort of help and say, here's some information you really need, and rather than look at those 98 pieces, look at these three or four, and I think we can focus. I had a guy coming to look at, he's the one that bought the property over on with the swimming pool. I won't
yes.
mention the address.
Yeah.
He was looking all the way out in Alexandria in Holland because he
wow.
wanted to have nature. And I'm saying, we have nature right here in
Hunterdon County.
In
some
in
of the best.
Township. I said, well, you don't need to go another 20 yeah. miles to the west.
There's bears in the backyard now for sure.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, that's the kind of help I think I lend to people.
Absolutely. And I think that conversation is mission critical because everybody gets caught in all that noise, and I consider a lot of it to be noise, and distortions of conversations and distortions of impressions and things like that. I'm finding I'm managing much more of that, and not in a bad way, in a good way. It's
right.
it's clarifying, hey, this is where we are, this is what's really going on. Simple is good is my motto. Simple explanation, simple understanding, and let's move forward on to the next check item on the list.
So I think one of the things, and I'm involved now at the chamber, at the board level, and just out of general interest. I have no political aspirations to go any higher. I just wanted to be a little more involved after what happened with our chamber. And I hear inspectors talk about, well, you know, it's a GFI. It's only $10. I said, bullshit. It's yeah. not, excuse me. I'm not allowed to say that on air.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know, it's not just $10. I have to have a guy come out at $100 or for labor to put that $10 part in. If the $10 part doesn't need to be in, or if it's grandfathered, you bought it before 94, and really, that's not really what I'd like to see.
Right.
Or if you're going to put it in your report, say this may be grandfathered out. It
right.
may not be
right.
necessary. You may want to do it yourself afterwards.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I try, you know, it's interesting you should say that. That's again part of the information that is held to an inspector's standard. If there is the potential, and that's under that safety clause of significant material defect or material defect, and could that be a significant finding? The reason behind that is safety is the overplayed card in every industry, including ours. And of course, it's the trump card for us because that's really the core of what we're trying to make sure nothing happens to people. So anytime the school I went to in Robbinsville, I know there's Middlesex County has a school, a lot of them, they pound those points into inspectors to say, you declare it as unsafe even if you're unsure. And that's a great example. GFIs have been grandfathered in forever and a day. I mentioned to people, folks, you need to upgrade that. Yes, I've certainly used that language that says it's not an expensive replacement if you can do it yourself, but it's going to cost you some money to have an electrician come
right.
and do it. So you're right about that. But that's the nature of the inspection business and how they have fostered that culture. They've really – and it's one thing I came – like Patrick from the corporate side, and, of course, I came from – the telecommunications side, and they always had a safety binge on because when I worked for AT&T, when I was a lineman, the answer is you literally stopped a job if there was any potential of a safety concern.
Mm-hmm.
So they've followed up in the state in that regard when it comes to standards on inspectors, and they beat that point to death. It needs to be a balanced conversation because, frankly, yeah, if it's – but I want to close that thought with – there's code officials, and then there's your commercial inspectors, the people that come and represent you and bring to you what I do, for example. The
right.
code inspectors are really the guys that say it's good or it's no good. You know, it's mm-hmm. and that's and yes, and it depends on municipality, and it depends on you know what the circumstances are. So, we are not allowed to tread in their territory unless we're a licensed code inspector, and the vast majority are not. Some are, and then the code inspectors don't play in our sandbox. You know, it's their declaration.
So, Patrick, from the inspection viewpoint, there's got to be 100 funny stories you could tell. I've actually seen inspectors and repairmen keep scrapbooks of some of the things they've found.
Oh.
I mean, what are some of the most startling things that you've uncovered in your 12 to 14 years?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I could actually pull one out of the hat right now. I'm not going to actually say that Steve writes his reports like this, but I've seen a lot of different reports from different inspectors, and I got to tell you, they're all over the place.
Right.
They're not standardized.
No.
Right.
And
they like to think they are. They're not.
There's a lot of vague language in there on how there's no way for me as the repair person to get advice about how I'm supposed to repair it. Sometimes it's not even obvious what is supposed to be repaired, and I have to go that. I know there's something wrong. I know it's in this particular vicinity of the house.
Yeah.
For example, they'll say there's a truss broken in the roof in the attic. In the attic.
Go look for it.
And they may give you like this little black and white out of focus picture. Now I got to go find it.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to find.
Yeah. Wow.
And it could take an hour just to find the thing and then realize it was just a check or a crack in the truss, and all I need to do is, you know, sister glue maybe a 2x8 or whatever on either side, glue and screw, that's what I call it, and fix it that way. That's not, you know, nothing too serious.
There, well, you know? and that's it. You know, you struck on a very valid point, Joe. There's the professional and personal opinions that come into play here. And back to the industries, they'll always play it safe. My colleagues will always play it safe. They'll always overplay that card. I've been in associations, and they walk scared of litigation.
Mm.
They just do. They're afraid of getting clubbed. And unfortunately, in our industry, it's two strikes, you're out. You can have a claim. You have a second claim, you won't have an insurance carrier. You won't be able to practice. So they all walk in paranoia. I don't, because I'll retire.
So what happens in a case where the inspector says this doesn't meet code and they bring back their maintenance, let's say it's the air conditioner, and they bring back the maintenance guy and he says it is up to code. I as a realtor would say, well, now you need a tiebreaker.
Right.
And the tiebreaker would be a third opinion, and now you have to agree in advance whether or not that's going to be binding arbitration. Will the two of you say that if the third agreement says you'll both abide by it? And
right.
Sometimes they won't. So, you know, it's a very gray area.
Yeah.
Nothing black and
white. And frankly, that language shouldn't be used by a commercial inspector. They should never use code. And again, unless they're a registered or a licensed code inspector, they should say, for example, you brought up a very valid point. I had a property up in Belvedere. And I called into question the air conditioning system because it wasn't pushing out a lot of cold air. And then, of course, the heating system had a lot of corrosion on the surface plates of the heat exchanger. So I said, listen, and this is the way I word my reports. I say, we need to evaluate it and repair or replace it if it's necessary. That's the concept.
Yeah.
People look at those words and they say, evaluate, repair, replace. I said, no, evaluate it first. That's the next level, the HVAC guy. And if he comes in and he wipes the rust off and says, there's nothing wrong with here, he's just stood behind that repair and said, we're good to go. And that's what I keep telling my trades. I said, guys, I'm the family doctor. I come in and look at the whole patient, and if I see that something's got a fever or something's got a rash, I'm gonna write it up according to the standards.
Yeah.
And it's your turn to come in and say, hey, you know, Mr. Inspector, you know, you're good, or guess what? You're good. You got that right. So that's always a bone of contention, and not always. Actually, it's gone well for me, I have to admit. I've had people come back and say, you know, you inspected this house and, you know, I found some other issues. I said, well, what's the delta time between and what's been going on and what do we have? So it's always going to be, it's just like any transaction, you're always going to have a lot of fun.
Well, Patrick,
throwing it back and forth.
From the repair side, what's the most annoying thing you bump into continuously? Is it requests for things that really never needed to be looked at, or
no? I think genuinely, everyone that calls me has a reason to be calling me,
right.
and it will range from a stay-at-home mom that has a husband that is working in New York City and is never home,
mm-hmm.
except for the weekends perhaps, and he does not want to do any of the repairs in the house. So I will literally step in and do on a monthly basis normally, and we'll make these appointments as I'm leaving the door for the next month, and we'll have lists of, you know, changing light bulbs and perhaps resetting the timers on the exterior lights and the landscaping lights and a variety of things. I mean, I've had funny things like on our show called Home Sweet Home, we have a WD-40 gig that we talk about.
Our list.
Well, literally, she has this toaster, and I'm talking about one particular client of mine. Yeah. She has one of those bread oven toasters, and the bread bag ended up melting onto the surface of the chrome, and that was really hard to get off.
Sure.
And she was going to throw away the toaster, and I got in there, and I said, oh, let me go get a little bit. I got some steel wool in the truck, and
mm-hmm.
it's quadruple zero, so very fine stuff, because you don't want to scratch the chrome.
Right.
Start trying to scrape out this colored plastic that's melted into the chrome, you know? These are the weird things I do. And and I'm like, wait a minute, it's not working that well. I need like a lubricant or something. Let me go get the WD-40, spraying that on. And she's looking at me like I have like two heads. And like, you know, you were going to throw it out anyway. Let's try to fix it.
Right.
And by golly, it came out, man. It was like, made me look good. It's amazing how some of these... You know, you just have to have an open mind and think out of the box sometimes, and that's the fun of it a little bit.
That's one of your real skills. Is, I mean, you could look at something, and I'm thinking up and down, you're thinking left and right.
Like you said, I throw a rope over over the roof and hook it up to a tree and then climb up and get up there and stuff, and I have
work
the harness.
Without fear of falling.
Well,
so, almost.
Respect for falling.
Respect. Good word. Patrick, how would somebody reach you if they'd like to talk to you about just doing Mr. Fix-It around their house like you talked about?
Thanks for asking. I mean, they can call me definitely through my cell number, which is 908-283-4494. I can also be reached through my website, which is www.taskmanhandyman.com. And you can listen to our show on Friday at 11 o'clock right here in the studio. It's called Home Sweet Home, and you get the pleasure of hearing my buddy here, Steve, talk about his safety issues and me about my WD-40 issues.
Beautiful.
I guess.
Well, there's an old country and western saying, if you can't fix it with Velcro or WD-40, it probably ain't worth fixing.
don't forget the duct tape.
That
works so well,
right.
Too.
Whack, whack. So, Steve, how do they reach you? Somebody needs an inspection done.
Hey, thanks, Joe. It's my business phone and cell phone. I have it with me all the time. It's 908-500-0583. I have a website that's down right now, so best way to contact me if you're out there. You can text me, of course, on that same number. Or email me at brasstack@hotmail.com.
That great. Works. So that's Steve Bailey at Brass Tack, and we have Patrick Gregory at Taskman Handyman. And this is Joe Peters at Weicker. And if you'd like to talk to me, I'm at 908-238-0118. And I'm based in Clinton, but I do all of Hunterdon and I do all of Somerset County. I think one of the things I just like to pass on at this point is we're seeing a very, very busy time. I think it'll come to an end. I think it'll happen probably after July 4th. So we've probably got another 2 weeks before the peak. But then it takes 2 months to close these transactions.
Right.
By then, September will be here, and that's like a secondary market for us. So if you're thinking about buying or selling, and you're even thinking about it for next year, we should be talking now. We need to get things in place. I'm going to see a woman on Friday that I took a look at. I sent my stager over there. She took a look at it. We gave her a whole bunch of things to do, and she's been doing it for 6 weeks, and now she says, I think I'm ready. Come on back. And I'm saying, I'm a little afraid to go back.
Because
what she thinks and what we think are two different things, but we'll work it out, okay?
Right.
And
that's what it's all about.
For Taskman Handyman. And
definitely.
That's all about.
So
I like to fix everything before the home inspector comes in, so he doesn't have anything to do.
Because I'm going to see one tonight. She's saying, "Well, the septic works, but it's like old." And
well, I don't do septics, but
But I'm going to say to her, "Well, then you should have a preemptive inspection done on it and see if it is going to fail. Because if it is, you should know it now. It could be a big ticket item."
Well, that's the number one concern, right?
Right.
Here in
I would say 50% of our failures are septics.
I got to believe that.
And people are afraid of them. I'm not. I've had two homes of septics. Love them. I mean, if they're working when you get them, if you take good care of them, just don't let it break on your watch. I mean, you know.
Joe, a replacement is, what's the timeline? 6 months, maybe? from start to final inspection.
Engineering studies are 4,000 to 5,000 themselves. They take about
no
a
month. Kidding.
Then you got to file and get the variance. You got to have a backup plan.
Paperwork.
And then it's digging it all up. And most people don't realize a septic is as big as a swimming pool, but it's underground, and that's a lot of work. It could be $30,000 or $40,000.
It's all gravel.
So we are out of time. I'm going to switch over to the news forecast, and I thank both Steve and Patrick and April for joining us.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much.
Say goodbye, April.
Thank you, Joe.
And we'll have to do it again, and it's my turn to come on yours. And
that's right.
Last time I did it in my living room because I forgot to come in.
It was perfect. It worked great.
Okay. Thanks again, guys.
USA Radio News with Kelly Sloan.
Arguably the most influential evangelical pastors in America, gathering together to listen to Donald J. Trump affirm the values of life and religious liberty, the building block of marriage and the family, and the preservation of our Judeo-Christian value system.
That was Pastor Samuel Rodriguez, president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. Today, conservative Christians are in New York meeting with Donald Trump. And there are protesters, too.
If nobody did anything, there would be no impact. If a lot of people do a little, there can be an impact.
That was Peter from a Jewish social justice organization. Attorney General Loretta Lynch is in Orlando talking about the latest developments in the nightclub shooting massacre. The visit comes one day after the Justice Department decided to release the unedited transcripts of calls between shooter Omar Mateen and police negotiators. This is USA.